and welcome everybody to this only very slightly delayed. I forgot which number this is. Let's say sixth. Six sounds correct. Sixth episode of GameWorks 90K podcast. We're coming from a summer break. We've been prorogued by the government, mostly on account of me being all over the place. I don't know, like Sweden, America, the US two times, a whole bunch of Gamescom. It's just all over the place. I've been.
You can give a bit of an update on what happened in those places as well.
Oh boy, it's a lot of places. I need to figure out when we released the last episode, and then because lots of. Oh, anyway.
I just big checked, by the way, today. We are on the sixth episode. You were correct.
Oh man, this is.
Starting off strong.
I'm not sure. Did we ever release the fifth episode?
Yeah, it's
yeah, really. You will see in the podcast. Okay. Then I can tell you, dear listeners, that we recorded the sixth episode, that they edited to like 99%, and then just never hit release on, because they needed to take a flight to like New York or something. So, in this now officially next episode, the big topic of the day, one could say the big topic of the year, is loot boxes. Specifically today in the context of the Committee for Digital Culture, Media and Sport in UK releasing a very big 84-page report on loot boxes and how it correlates to gambling law or existing law in general. It is a very scathing report that essentially says that loot boxes need to be regulated in some form.
Yeah.
Recommendation is
the recommendation is like, nah, let's not have any loot boxes, pretty much.
Yes. The recommendations are various. I think the report has like a various approach. It's like it's not just let's not have loot boxes at all. It's like I think the main point that they're trying to make is let's not have loot boxes at all, but kids can access them, right?
Yeah. They basically want to say that loot boxes should be treated like any other kind of gambling, meaning that you have to be you literally have to be 18 to hit collect on your fucking Overwatch loot box.
Yeah, but I think also slightly bit more lenient. I think at some parts of the report where they say like, "Hey, games should have a PEGI 18," which. PEGI is not a UK government institution. That's a self-regulation. Gambling is definitely not self-regulated.
No.
Their government agencies making sure that your gambling with your one arm bandit is up to snuff. PEGI 18 is not dead. I think everybody working in mobile games is very aware that to get a PEGI rating, it's not a super extensive or maybe accurate representative of your game process.
No.
And also, your PEGI rating isn't really updated regularly. Like, games introduce loot boxes, they change how they work, they maybe pull them out again, looking at EA. Even a PEGI 18 solution, I think, is not what they would really want, because that's very self-regulatory, very wishy-washy. Seeing that this report is like, nah, that's like not enough, even that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, at my company, we don't really care about PEGI ratings. What we care about is what Apple and Google determine our rating should be, based on, like, their reviewing of our content. If it's codified in law, what the guidelines should be, then that would make an immediate difference on like every new build of every game and every new game in general going out.
Yeah. Also, not every game needs to have a PEGI rating.
No, they don't.
I should fact check this, but I think League of Legends doesn't have a PEGI rating. I know it doesn't have a USK rating in Germany. And it's a big game with lots of like microtransactions up to loot boxes in there. So like even the rating systems, because there are not government regulations going on every game.
League of Legends has PEGI rating. It has a 12. Very, very bottom of Riot's website.
I don't think it has a USK rating in Germany.
It does.
Like they, I think they very
it also has a 12. The logos are next to each other.
And did they get it?
They got it.
Didn't you have it? Wow, didn't
the facts
have
are
it?
Out of date.
Sorry, out of date facts here. But my actual point is more like there are very few countries that are like actively rate in a way that is government regulated, like Brazil, where as far as I know, it's a government agency that rates games. And before you get your rating, you just can't release. Like you need to wait for the government to say this is this or that rating, then you can release. Which there are holdups in the process. China is another country that very strictly regulates what games are released. Mm. Not necessarily in a rating sense, also in a content sense. But stuff like a PEGI rating, like getting a PEGI rating, is not a lengthy process where a game is examined by, I don't know, child psychologists that will determine whether or not your loot boxes are good or not.
Mm.
It's more of a like questionnaire. Does a game of loot boxes? Okay, there you go. Racist support is like, okay, we don't want that.
Mm.
We want strict gambling regulation where it isn't just a one-time thing. It's a government agency. It will constantly track, get access to data in a way that the government agency can just say, hey, give me the data on X. Give me your loot,
yeah,
your drop rates, your percentages of whales, or whatever it might be, to make sure that it is not too exploitative, whatever that not too exploitative means.
Yeah, I think I've said it on this podcast before, but like any kind of legislation like that is entirely under the interpretation of the government body who's running it, which isn't great. However, I'm always in favor of legislation to reduce exploitative behavior.
It's also depends on how tight it will be. If you think of like Japanese pachinko machines where, you don't get, like, the big argument, right, that the report just says, this isn't the relevant argument, is that you don't get money out of loot boxes, mostly. You get stuff that is not money, but digital good, that is worthless in COE, monetarily. Which is also true for pachinko in Japan. You get little, very colored balls that you just go outside of the pachinko place, go one house down the street, and enter a place that, oh my god, gives you stuff for little balls. Huh. Weird.
That sounds like a video game. Like a general fucking video game.
Video games also, as opposed to like having literally like a physical casino, like you can just update a live service game like that.
Mm.
Change stuff like that.
I feel the idea of a commission to look at these things is probably a better idea, because then a neutral party can just look at a game as an entire product and just be like, is it being exploitative, all things considered? Because I feel that's the only way to truly tackle the problem of exploitative business practices.
Mm-hmm. And also, one thing to keep in mind, I think it's very important here, is that, yeah, a whole bunch of companies make a lot of money loot boxes. The gambling industry is still hugely profitable.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they are heavily regulated. That doesn't mean they're suddenly not profitable anymore. They very much are. I cannot see a future in which the UK government manages to shut down the global gaming industry.
No.
By saying loot boxes need to be regulated in some form, preferably under gambling regulation.
Yeah, no, I think this is definitely big boy game industry execs just getting salty about the fact that they're finally getting regulated for their shitty tactics.
Remember GDPR?
Mm.
Oh no, every website needs to shut down in Europe. We can't. It's like, there you go. Yeah. I mean, some games did shut down because of GDPR.
Yeah.
I forget which ones, but those were like, they're more like, our GDPR was the last push to sunsetting them in a specific region.
It was just a hard thing they had to overcome, and they were like, nah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter about it anymore. But hey, everybody loves to talk about how profitable the games industry is. Everybody loves to talk about how you make more money than music and film and television combined. Well, guess what? We still will, even if UK-specific regulation comes into effect. We still will make more money than of the other industries combined. That money is probably not going to go to the people making games, actually.
The thing that... this is just a massive tangent. The thing that annoys me about GDPR is every now and then I'll be like researching something, and there'll be just some like small-town newspaper website in the US whose website I just cannot visit because they're like, we don't understand GDPR, so we're just going to blanket block all of Europe instead of...
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. Like, honestly, there's a whole bunch of like national regulations. Like in Germany, there's something called Impressumspflicht for all websites, which means that all websites need to have publicly available a contact point at who owns the website.
Mm.
So there needs to be a full legal name that person's address, preferably that person's telephone number on every website.
Yeah, that's actually a thing here. I found out about that literally yesterday when I was trying to book a function room for a union meeting. And I couldn't get into contact with someone because their license for that ran out. And so their domain was blocked by the domain provider. And I'm just waiting for them to sort that out so I can get an actual fucking contact.
Yeah. It turns out a whole bunch of small, like, mom and pop shop websites don't have that. And honestly, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like, even though that is illegal, like, nobody's prosecuting your small sports club in rural Wales for not having that on their website. That's is not what these kinds of regulations are for, right? These kinds of regulations are for the little big, the big money makers, the big players, like the games industry. So I think we're going to be fine on that front. I think the other interesting aspect there is the varying responses that different entities, trade buddies, rating boards like the PEGI, the ESA gave.
Oh man, the ESA's response.
Oof, that's some response.
I forgot about that until just now.
Look, I should find the proper quote. ESA loot boxes. UK is what I put into Google just now. Here we go. Source is PC Gamer on this one. DSA says, well, we also welcome the committee's recognition of good practice, which already exists in the industry, including pioneering community management and technical measures which ensure players have a safe experience online. The discussion around age ratings is actively ongoing, and the system is continually reviewed. Changes have already been made, including the introduction of an in-game purchase description label. And as technology evolves, so will the robust practices by which it is reviewed and rated. We take seriously the issues raised in the report, but also strongly disagree with its findings, which, as announced by recent announcements and policies, blah, 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 about, like, what they announced a while back, I think shortly after E3, is that the members of the ESA, this includes platform holders like Apple, Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, announced that by the end of 2020, they will have some policy, it's unclear what, that will define something about loot box rate, drop rates being made public in some form or the other, maybe. That's what I have. So they go on saying, we already got that, it's all good, something, something. Other regulatory bodies around the world, including in other countries, have said that it is not gambling in those countries, to which I reply, well, those other countries are not the UK with UK law. And also, what the report is also suggesting is, hey, maybe change the law to include loot boxes in specific ways.
Yeah, I was going to say,
like,
that's like the worst excuse ever. And like, well, they didn't define their law as this being gambling. I was like, well, they haven't yet. Could do.
Yeah, and also all those reports said this is a problem. The only thing that those reports conceded in those different countries is that even though it's a problem, that problem isn't technically covered under the old gambling law.
Yeah.
But it should be looked at, is what all reports were.
Yeah.
None of them were like, oh, the books are perfectly fine, and all like, oh, the games industry has like parental controls or something. Well, that doesn't fix the issue. And also, I think one slight issue I have with this report is that it doesn't really draw the line between loot boxes as they affect children and loot boxes as they affect adults. Because they affect both negatively. And by overtly focusing on like the children and child protection aspect, which is an important aspect of this issue, if you give that to politicians who think that games are only for kids.
Yeah.
The discussion about how those games affect, you know, your middle-aged upper-class housewife who suddenly spends a shit ton of money on Candy Crush or something or the other, that discussion could get lost if you just keep focusing on kids and kids' protection.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I look at the metrics of how many people spend money on the game I work on every day, and I worry about some of the whales.
Yeah.
Although I think most of them are extremely rich, but like Oof.
Yeah. Even so, like, even if you look at like gaming regulation again, it's not like the rule is nothing for children, but then once you hit 18, everything goes.
Yeah.
Even then, there are limits on what is allowed. Then
it's like, wait, you're just allowed to be exploited once you're 18.
Yeah. Ugh. Like, that was a very weak response. Like the sentence of like, oh yeah, we take seriously the issues raised, but strongly disagree with the issues raised. It's like, well, then you don't. That's what you just said. Yeah,
it's literally the cusp of, oof. we think you did great, but no. No.
But no, we're all good. We said that in 2 years now. In 1 year's time, something will have happened on some front, probably.
Yeah.
So, we're all good. Yes. Again, Peggy had a slightly more like, oh yeah, we need to look at this response. Peggy does include, I think, what is the actual label called? Is it in-game purchases? Label?
Yeah.
I think Peggy's in-game purchases, but then the Apple Store has like a microtransactions label. Google also has like a thing where if you, I think, expand something on the app or the Play Store, you get some in-game purchases information.
Which is
bad. Again,
very like, broad. In-game purchases like, doesn't mean loot boxes.
It doesn't
mean it employs predatory practices.
If I open up, like, the New York Times app has that label, right? Mm. Because you can buy the New York Times subscription in the New York Times app. That's not an exploitative loot box practice.
Can you imagine New York Times loot boxes?
Oh my god, I could.
Can you imagine, like, you just get, every day, you just get three completely random shitty op-eds by liberals?
You know, I actually, as a New York Times subscriber, I definitely can. So yeah, I think the one interesting aspect of race also is that one very important aspect that it brought up is that there isn't a lot of research into loot boxes and how it affects both children and adults. To give some context to that, I went to a panel in the US in Seattle at PegSTEF by a US lawyer, a Canadian lawyer, and a Canadian child psychologist who was like the head of a child's ward somewhere in Canada, who sort of gave the findings on like what is loot box regulation? Is it going to come in the US? What's going to look like? What's the deal with loot boxes, legally speaking and scientifically speaking? Legally speaking, the whole point was that there's a couple of steps you need to take to get to their like conclusion legally, but like the quick of it is that the Supreme Court in the US ruled that games are like protected under the Constitution as like art or like free speech or something to that direction.
Yeah.
Which means that you can't just regulate broadly, it needs to be a very specific, like it limits the way in which all entities in the US, including the national government but also state governments, can regulate art, essentially. And from there, they said that this decision might fall, though, because if you have turned into UK US politics at all in the last year or so, might have heard the name Brett Kavanaugh, who's now on the Supreme Court. So a couple of justices who made that decision were replaced. So, you know, the Supreme Court might decide that games aren't art anymore in the US, which would change things very much. So there's a current loot box bill in the US introduced by like a Republican senator. That's probably going to go nowhere. Because it isn't like he just sort of made that bill to see what party reaction was going to be, and it hasn't been all that strong, so he's probably going to drop it. He's more of a, you know, he's a reactionary. He's not gonna, he doesn't actually care about loot boxes. He cares about people's reaction to him saying, oh, loot boxes might be bad. Anybody?
Loot boxes bad?
Anybody? Mm-hmm. No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, but okay, moving on. So the interesting thing to me was the psychologist said, which is he had some studies and even a peer-reviewed but yet unreleased study that essentially definitely linked loot box purchasing behavior to how people score on the gambling risk index.
Right.
So the gambling risk index shows how susceptible you are to gambling. Mm. So what that link shows, this can go both ways. Both ways are bad, both directions are bad, but that either means that loot boxes are primarily bought by people who score badly on a gambling risk index, so who are susceptible to harmful gambling habits, or that by buying loot boxes, people who buy loot boxes actively create a behavior which means that they have higher risk on the gambling risk index. So either loot boxes primarily make money off people who have problems with gambling, or buy loot boxes creates people with problems with gambling.
Nice.
Both ways are bad.
Yeah.
Both ways are very bad. It's unclear which way around it is. Both ways are very bad. And like one aspect is also like think wasn't mentioned, but it's this idea that even if you take the money out, if you keep loot boxes in when you take the money out, if it is the case that just engaging loot boxes like increases your risk for problem gambling, and even if the money is involved, right? If like games teach young kids how to do loot boxes without the upfront cost, once they get to a game with upfront cost, they have that higher
gambling risk
index and are now more susceptible. This idea is like if you give kids vapes filled with like just water vapor, and all their childhood they will like vape water. Once they get old enough, you give them a vape with like nicotine in it. Are they gonna say no? Probably not, because it's habitual. And that's the thing that the US, as far as like the legal people said, doesn't give a shit about. There's no money involved there. Like the idea that something is setting up a failure in the future, welcome to the US. Different countries might see that very differently. The specific aspect of like loot boxes might create risk for gambling behavior in people, even if there's no upfront cost and even if you can't get money out of it.
So loot boxes are a gateway drug to real ass gambling.
Yeah.
Great.
Potentially. Or loot boxes only really work on people who have a problem with gambling, which is also everything very wrong. We have a product that only works on people who have a problem. Like, both ways are bad. There isn't a lot of research into it. One of the studies was like a long-term study, but a study that compared, because he was off the storm, I think, turned off loot boxes completely at some point. So we're comparing the buying behavior of microtransactions as a whole, pre-turning off loot boxes and posting off loot boxes. What it showed is that people who don't buy loot boxes, who predominantly also are people who don't score high on the gambling risk index, their spending habits didn't change. You know, in Heroes of the Storm, I'm not sure what you can buy, but you can buy probably like characters or skins. You would like buy characters or skins or something like that directly. Turning off loot boxes didn't affect those people. They were spending the same amount of money. Loot boxes or no loot boxes.
Oh, okay.
Only the people who buy a lot of loot boxes and have forms of gambling risk index, big overlap there. Turning off loot boxes means that they will like more or less stop spending money on that game. Like, they're there for loot boxes. And once loot boxes were turned off, they were, like, eventually padded off really hard. Right? Huh.
That is genuinely fascinating.
So that's one of the studies that showed this link between, there's some link between the gambling risk index and the loot box purchasing behavior. Whether one creates the other, which one creates the other is unclear, but... So I think if once we get more studies in that direction, and long-term studies and short-term studies are increasingly being, you know, made by researchers... So I think we're going to hear more in that direction, and I'm pretty sure whatever they will find, it will be bad.
Yeah.
Like that's like the one through line, so whatever the thing is, like, you know, there could always be the psychologist made very clear, there could be an unaccounted for third factor, right? Like there was just a correlation that was clearly shown. That doesn't necessarily need to mean it's a causation either way. It's just very likely, like, you know, he mentioned as an example, an age-old thing that has always been true is that in an area where there are more ice cream sales, there are more murders. Ice cream doesn't cause murders, and murders doesn't cause ice cream sales. It's just that both tend to happen when it's warm and sunny, but when it's cold and frosty and people stay at home.
Ah.
So the third factor there is your time of year, your sunniness, your warmth, rather than, like, it's not like eating ice cream causes murder behavior, or murder behavior causes other people to eat ice cream. That's not how it is. There's an unaccounted for a third factor. No study has really like brought up a third factor with loot boxes and gambling risk behavior or gambling or problematic gambling behavior. One might come up with one. I think it's probably unlikely.
Yeah.
I think there's some sort of link between the two. But am I also not a researcher? And one other thing the report mentioned is that what the report wants to do is like, hey, we want more research. Like, current research shows it's bad, but
yeah,
we are quite sure how, why, and in which direction we need to tackle this issue.
It would be interesting Oh, it's interesting that the ESA's whole it kind of contextualizes the ESA's response when you suddenly be like, wait a second, there's no direct correlation found yet, but the UK government is potentially proposing to fund a lot of research. And that would be bad.
Maybe make some games companies pay for that research.
Pay for research.
How dare they?
Almost certainly say the loot boxes are definitely bad.
Some way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's quite a lot of loot boxes. Obviously, I can say that personally. I think personally have a problem with loot. Like, if I start buying loot boxes, I don't stop for a while. Like, that's why I cannot play heavily free-to-play games in that way. I need to make very sure that I will never ever make that first purchase, because once I do, they're like, you know,
yeah,
I got some of that hard currency left over, you know, just buy a little bit more, get it in a pack or something.
That's what we call conversion. It's the basis of free-to-play.
Well, but the thing is also, once I start doing that, like 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I'm burnt out, right? My life cycle as a player is done. It was accelerated with loot box purchases, and I'm just done with the game.
Yeah.
Because I literally can't do that for forever, right?
Yeah.
There are people who can and try.
Yeah. Because I look at the data like this all the time, like all day, every day, and it's interesting how long a paying user stays a paying user or stays a user. Because it can be quite a while, but it's not easy. Long-term retention usually only occurs among like less than 1% of the average user, like retention beyond 30 days, or at least in the games I work on. We might have terrible retention for all I know.
Games have different retentions than console games.
Yeah, mobile games in general,
free to play games have
very low retention, but they also have a very high rate of people trying out new games constantly, which is the two feed to each other.
Without being in this industry myself, my understanding is that a whole bunch of mobile games work by throwing a whole bunch of users at the game in the hope that some might stick. And they will always constantly try to ramp up the amount of users to just throw at the product, so because maybe some will retain, which is not a strategy that AAA single player games do.
No.
Like, nobody's out there trying to get people in, well, marketing and PR, but you're not like trying to get every possible person on the planet to play Doom.
No.
Because they know they're not going to stick around.
Doom doesn't send you notifications up to 30 days after you've last closed it, reminding you to play Doom again.
It doesn't. I did play Doom at Gamescom, by the way. I did play Doom Eternal. On an Xbox at the Microsoft booth. I'm definitely not a console shooter player. I'm definitely not a console Doom player. good game, though. Like, if you like Doom 2016, this is more Doom. And they expanded on the core loop in a very good way. Transition out of loot boxes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say transition very loudly.
Transition.
Transition.
This is what I want all of my podcasts to be, so I can just easily segment all the talking points. So I ever have every host just shout the word transition.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
South Korea, it's next on a South Korean company. Next one is a South Korean company. At the South Korean company Nexon, which I spelled wrong in Google as I'm Googling it, people are unionizing and people are striking.
Ah, I know of Nexon. Yes.
Nexon is a company you probably do know of, but maybe not immediately recognized by name.
Yeah.
I would say. It's like a sort of West European person, at least.
Yeah. They make hardware.
They make a whole bunch of shit, really.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find. So, Nexon has become sort of the first South Korean games company to like really bigly and publicly create a labor union in it in the last year. And also like have a very public and very big like strikes and demonstrations related to that. Sadly, a whole bunch of the news coverage is sort of Korean or Korean translations. they are not very great. Like private source or whole wide, we'll see like the Korea Times, which doesn't mean it's bad, but it's like you get, it's like trying to get news about a strike in UK by a translated Sun article.
Oh, right.
It's, you know, you get some info, but, you know, maybe the point of view of the person.
Yeah, this is a very, hard creating. Topic to search. I'm getting a lot of stuff about Counter-Strike.
I think next on other people who do the Chinese Counter-Strike, maybe.
Oh, do they?
God. Nexon. I should just look this up. Nexon Counter-Strike. Yeah, Counter-Strike Online in China.
Ah, okay.
Nexon, make Counter-Strike Online.
Nexon, Nexon management. Okay.
Yeah. So, this is the, our current source we're looking at, is the Korea Times. The Korea Times is international English-speaking sort of website. So the Nexon, the books, the Nexon anti-nuclear union called Starting Point. They held a very big rally on the 3rd of September, where about 600 unionized workers said, you know, because they've been in negotiations with the company, have been trying to get the company on the negotiation table to actually talk about how to fix the issues. The company has been, you know, as companies are, not very supportive of that.
No.
So the main topic of that big rally with hundreds of people was, hey, stop making excuses.
Mm.
Like, you told us all the reasons why it can't be better. We don't care. It can be better, and we're going to make it better.
Yeah.
Which I think is something that especially like traditionally unionized industries, like apps industries all over in different countries, the first union will always have it the hardest and the most like the longest route to getting a good collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
Because companies are still very sure, management is still very sure that this will just go away. This is just a fad. Maybe they honestly believe that it isn't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of a thing that we're currently dealing with in the union that we run.
Yes, I've heard of that.
We've heard of that.
Yeah, we've heard of the union that we run. Indeed, Garrix and IDK.
Yeah.
Part of the IWGP. It's two.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, like, the first recognition agreement is definitely super difficult to get to.
Yeah. I gotta admit, not super familiar with like organized labor in South Korea or East Asia in general. But like, you know, a lot of people focus on the US for various reasons that are probably mostly dumb. But like, if South Korea unionizes before the US, I will have a laugh.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have a bit of a laugh. So honestly, the way, again, not super familiar with it, but the way that East Asian society or societal values are sort of going with the system is a big aspect of that. Everything bad you hear about Japanese work culture, right, is in ways related to that. The idea that, you know, you can't leave your workplace before your boss leaves your workplace, even if you've got nothing at all to do. You just gotta stick it out. Like, all of these things, like excessive overtimes are part to that. To some societal cultural ideals of what a worker should act like, what a good member of society should behave like. Like unionizing in South Korea in these stages is a big deal. It is a bigger deal than the US, I would
say. Yeah, I think it is a huge
deal.
The
US has problems with like anti-union sentiments in the US, sure, but like this
US is a huge market share, but Korea, it's indicative of a massive social movement if Korea manages to actually unionize.
Yeah.
Which is great. All power to them.
Hope they do. Like, so that you found from us here, going to South Korea, going to the Nexon workers, teaming up with Starting Point. I just try this code I'm going to read out here. If you get a job at Nexon and you don't relocate to the job within 3 months, you will be let go. It's current company policy. Like, if Nexon gives you a job and you can't manage to be there within 3 months.
Okay.
There you
why
go.
Would they?
Buy it.
Why would. What? That's a Which weird policy. Why would they even bother to hire people who they think that's an issue for?
It's also that, like, you know, I've seen this applies, like, to all workers. So if you hire somebody internationally, they need to get a visa. We better get a visa quick, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I recently had a colleague start who was stuck from. Oh, God, I'm going to get it so wrong. Romania
I know plenty of people in industry in Romania.
Might have been Bulgaria. I think it's Romania. You know, he was stuck in UK visa hell for like 8 months.
Yeah.
Fault of my company, because my company got bought up, which means they had to like re-register with the government as a company that is allowed to like give visas out, like work visas out.
Yeah.
So the company literally couldn't give him a visa. So they hired him and like, well, we'll wait. We'll see when you'll be able to come over.
Okay.
And it took like 7 or 8 months. So, you know, trying to get into South Korea on like a work visa, maybe it's not
as easy.
All that quick.
Yeah.
It's easy. And yeah, I'll keep an eye on that. I'll try to find like maybe some better sources in the future that allow us to talk about this.
I definitely like to hear how like that develops, because it could end up being something huge.
Yeah. Also, games industry in South Korea, including everything related to in-game purchases and loot boxes, heavily regulated, right?
Yeah.
South Korea is the one country where if you make a gaming account, it is linked against your citizen ID. So the government can, across games, say like, hey, across games, you're literally playing yourself to death, because it did happen in Korea a bunch. Like, you're spending too much, which mixed feelings about totalitarian governments coming in and tracking you across all games, but it is heavily regulated, and so Korea isn't. Like, South Korea is still a huge market, especially in mobile gaming, especially in PC gaming also.
That would absolutely own if they regulated it in the same way, but like with Steam games, where if you like got caught bossing in Counter-Strike, you just get up straight like arrested.
Yeah, that's also the thing, right? Like, it's a few countries where you can get like a global, literally nationwide game ban on all games. You can play in South Korea by just being a fucking asshole online. And again, the games industry is doing very well.
Yeah.
Money-wise, going to companies, if that is your metric that you're going to use to analyze doing well with, they're doing fine in South Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah, got like 10 minutes maybe for like a quick mention of other people organizing.
Other people organizing. This was the bit I was hoping for. Oh boy, did we see the tweets about
transition?
Transition? It's not even that.
Transition.
It's about the same kind of subject. But did we see the tweets about Kickstarter?
The boys
responsible for not actually funding our favorite games, but facilitating everybody.
Not related to the Amazon Prime show, The Boys. Just throwing that out there.
Not responsible for funding all your favorite indie games, but they do facilitate it and take a lot of money off the top.
Yeah. They make money by you funding your favorite indie games.
Yeah, exactly. They have a website.
They need to make more of it.
They have a website, and that's it. That's their website. And that's all they do. They just host a website.
They move money around and keep it share.
Yeah.
Almost like a bank. Also not great, those banks.
Yeah.
So situation at Kickstarter is essentially Kickstarter is sort of a tech company in the US who like, again, traditionally incredibly not unionized. Going from Amazon to Microsoft, Google, like all these companies, incredibly anti-union, very hard to like do organized labor in. It is possible, as you can see and stuff, like people walk out, which ended company-wide a policy of forced arbitration. We talked about in previous episodes in relation to the white walkout. That is an instance of organized labor and one of the big tech companies achieving significant change. That though was not a union effort, though, although it was an organized labor effort. So what is going on at Kickstarter is that they are actually trying to unionize.
Yeah.
Kickstarter, same way that Nexon is in South Korea. Kickstarter, turns out, also doesn't like that. Aha. Uh-huh. So almost like there's a pattern here. And they've recently fired some, I believe two, might be more right now, than sort of last week, organizers. Definitely for organizing. I think they gave like a fake cop-out reason. It was like, oh no, we're just, you know.
Because the vast majority of places in the US, like where's Kickstarter based? Brooklyn.
I think it's West Coast. Yeah. Oh, wait. East Coast. Sorry. I'm off one coast.
Off one coast. headquarters off in one coast. Brooklyn. Yeah, so they definitely can't have done that. Like, been open about it, they would have had to give a wishy-washy reason.
Yeah. New York City specifically, like, not the worst place labor law-wise in the US.
Yeah.
Whatever your dead metric is, whatever the low bar is, they're above US average. Stuff like right to work and adequate employment, not so much of a thing there. Still though, legal protections are sort of flimsy, and if a company decides to fire you, they will fire you, whether it's legal or not.
Yeah.
And it is then the ball is in your court, like literally, to go against it.
Yeah.
In some way.
They make it very easy to go against them by doing shit like that.
Yes.
Yeah, which is great, because Kickstarter has always fashioned itself as like, well, I mean, we're game industry organizers, we know what this is like, but they've always fashioned themselves as this like very hip and cool
ping pong table-y.
Are you just looking at the picture on their web?
We're here for you, for the creators.
Yeah, like
we're here to make sure you don't get paid in exposure.
The Brooklyn office looks like just a bunch of people in a library on Macs. Is that actually?
It's true. Like, you see the picture. It's gonna be in the podcast notes. I'm gonna link like probably the Slate article on it. See the pictures and like, yep, that's the company that believes they're cool.
Yeah.
And red.
So I remember reading. I remember seeing a bunch of videos by Jack Dorsey, the guy who like, who's like one of the directors of Kickstarter, and he got a lot of flack by like Marga Chuds a while ago for not funding for not allowing Kickstarters to be made for people to like stop immigrants from coming from Africa or through the Mediterranean. And now he's taking flack for stopping people unionizing. Basically what I'm saying is like everybody on the political spectrum now hates him. It is ooh boy. But this is great. So one of the organizers of the Kickstarter thing basically got offered a month's pay to sign an NDA to not talk about why he got fired. And he immediately tweeted saying...
Non-disparagement agreement. Yeah.
He basically just immediately tweeted saying, yeah, I'm not going to do that, as you can tell by the fact I just tweeted you. About it.
I'm going to shit talk you. I'm going to shit talk Kickstarter immediately. Like, how even dare you? I think this was to Clarissa Redwine, which I should check her pronouns. I believe it's her, but I should check. Kickstarter United. I'm on Twitter. Yeah. So it's also, I think, a very brave decision. What she's fighting for is not, like, the non-disparagement essentially is giving you a whole bunch of hush money, right? That's the deal of non-disparagement agreement.
Yeah.
We're going to give you a whole bunch of money, although in Kickstarter's case, not a whole bunch, more like a bit of money. And you don't shit talk us about all those things we fired you over. So she's not only looking to, well, first of all, she's not going to take that. She's also looking to be reinstated. So she does, like, they do want their job back. It's like, so they filed like a motion with the National Labor Relationship Board, which is sort of the entity in the US who enforces labor law. Motion was filed there, which means that really shows that they're just not giving up. Like, they're not backing down or like trying to take a way out. They're like, nah, fuck you. And I'm going to keep saying fuck you until I'm back in the job to further work to unionize this workforce. Like, I'm not going to give up here. Never. Which, very, very, very brave reaction.
Yeah, that is like, whew, peak organizing. Once again, I am super down with seeing how this stuff goes.
For sure. It's also that's very possible. Like, even if the legal thing doesn't work out, like, getting people reinstated or fired during, like, a campaign or an organizing process, it's like one of the base things that unions do, right?
Yeah.
And that, not all the time, but oftentimes is successful. If you do get the collective bargaining agreement, like getting those people back in a job that are fired for organizing activity is, like, one of the most common demands.
Yeah.
And important demands that you can make in your organizing effort as a union. It's very important.
Yeah, and it's great, yeah, because it makes the company look really bad.
For being bad.
For being bad.
Look bad for being bad.
Yeah. But like that whole process is great because it means that they are then forced to have you here to fuck their shit up. And they just have to watch as you do it before their eyes, because you know that you've already lost a legal injunction. I like it. So, I like these situations.
Yeah. I'll solidarity from us here in the UK.
Definitely, definitely.
To closer red wine and Taylor Moore, the two fired employees.
Yeah.
Hope it all goes well on that front, and Kickstarter can be unionized, which would make it sort of the first big tech company in the US including games, to be unionized.
Yeah.
Again, I talked recently about like the weirdest things you make between like tech and games, in which, you know, somebody working at Microsoft making games works in games, but somebody working at Microsoft, like a back-end programmer who does server stuff at Microsoft at a game studio works in games.
Yeah.
Like, colloquially, but a back-end programmer who does server stuff for Bing works in tech, colloquially, which is the weirdest thing to make, in my opinion. It doesn't really help anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was debating just quickly, just spending a couple of minutes ending this on a weird note.
Yeah.
Did you see like the job offers at like Facepunch?
Oh boy, God, that happened today, and I forgot about it.
That did happen. Came like yesterday. Quick content warning about like, I don't know, shitty male fragility humor, I guess.
Weird,
like
weird dude culture.
Yeah.
It's the best way to describe it.
It's just like, yeah, you can just smell the fragility of that male ego. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
I was gonna quickly Facepunch Studios, company who made Rust. It has something to do with Gary's mod that I can't figure out how they're involved there. I think they made something with it.
They're the main like holders of Gary's mod.
Gary's mod isn't like wholly owned, but like I said, they're like product, but they're like one of the main contributors to it.
Yeah, Gary's mod is a weird thing. I can't really explain it. It's one of those things that's a very difficult subject to explain who really owned Gary's mod. But basically, Facebook were the main contributors to it, and then they made Rust. Anyway, back onto Facebook Studios, who are recruiting people to work in their studio, which isn't really a studio, but more of a it's an abstract not studio that doesn't exist in a place. Everybody just works from home.
Yeah.
Which,
that can work, except if it's like designed to like, oh, we can just save money in a studio. And like all the benefit. We don't even need to buy a ping pong table. That's great.
Yeah, they don't even need a library or a ping pong table.
Yeah.
Or
don't even need that
or
shit.
A yurt. Did you know that
Or any woman in a workplace.
Or any
who needs that?
Or any women. Yeah.
Or non binary people or people who have some basic human decency. Like, who needs those? You can jack off.
Yeah, you can. And that brings us to the point we were making, is they just wrote that. They just wrote that on their job description page, on their actual real person job website for game developers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Twice.
Twice.
They made...
And also the come to daddy line. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, choice quotes. Just here's some of the highlights of this. Of facepunch.com/jobs. This is neither an ad nor an endorsement of this website.
It is the opposite of an endorsement.
Except to go there and laugh at it. Yes. If you want to have a laugh at like stupidity, go there. You want to get a job, do not go there.
Yeah.
So, this is also in broken, wrong English.
Yeah, so there's a lot of grammatical errors.
I'm going to read it out aloud. All the grammar errors should be part of the original source that I have open in front of me. So, have you masturbate at your computer with GitHub open on one of your monitors? ? Have you worked on games? Do you think you can help us be awesome? Apply now. So, Dick, have you masturbated at your computer with Great Tap open?
I don't even remember.
On one of your monitors.
On one of your
just on one, not both. Just
not
get
hooked
on one monitor. Like, also, it's like, I don't know if they're implying that you have GitHub open on one monitor and porn on the other, or that you're sort of jacking off at GitHub. Like, I don't even know what you're
saying. Oh, yeah, GitHub and, like, your code.
No idea. Yeah. Then another great line is, like, made a game. Or great line. Bad line is, made a game and want to release it, but you don't have enough money to eat food, to give you energy, to move your fingers on the keyboard to finish making it, come to daddy. So yeah, that's the sentence in the English language that you can write on your website.
Okay.
I think there was something more. Also working for Facepunch in the why section, why you should work for Facepunch. If you work from home, which you have to because there's an office, you can jack it whenever you want. And you won't even know. You're effectively being paid to jack it. We don't promote you. You choose what... Also, actually, I just realized I said it just now. We don't promote you. You chose what you do. So, you want to race? Well, tough luck. You can do more work if you want to. So, yeah. Like, I don't... Like, this whole... Like, they also only have four positions, you know, the four pillars of game development.
Yeah.
Modeler/rigger/animator is number one, level designer is number two, game developer is number three, and programmer is number four, so...
What does developer mean compared to programmer?
Or level designer, like...
So, I'm really interested as to what exactly they're doing, because the last two projects that we know about, or the last, like, five projects... Wait, yeah, the last six projects that are listed on their Wikipedia page have been abandoned or cancelled. I don't know what the difference is between abandoned and cancelled. Like, it tries to make the distinction.
I mean, I guess abandoned is... Oh, no, I abandoned that. I chose not to finish this project.
But they advertise for any kind of experience with any engine. They're like, Unreal experience? Great. Unity experience? Great. Which implies to me that they're probably just working on, like, several different projects at any given time on any different kind of hot software. Which sounds to me like it's not a studio. It's just a bunch of people who are friends who are just like, just make whatever you want. Yeah.
It's like, we'll... Yeah, so that's what this website tells me, essentially. They were called out on this on the UK games industry Slack.
Yeah.
And doubled down. They were like, no, they doubled down in a very bad way, in which, you know, somebody said, like, hey, I'm a woman and I'm not going to play this fucking jobless thing right here. And they were like, well, why wouldn't you? Like, do you want us to change jacking off to a gender neutral term for jacking off? Is that what you want?
Like, seriously?
No, that's they did say that, and no, that's not what we want. That is not what we want.
Jacking/jilling. There you go. Fix.
I should find that quote. I saw it on Tara's Twitter. Don't know Tara J. Bredigan. Very, very, very great community manager. She's been in the ESU for a while, in, like, various countries.
So,
good stuff.
Did you see what our friend Jess, one of the organizers in the union, wrote? Mm-hmm. She said that she's personally not going to apply to any company like that because the culture sounds awful. And she said, I don't want to be signing up to a bunch of literal wankers. And Gary Newman liked the comment.
I see that just now. I see that. I see that tweet.
What?
Yeah, so Jess. So, also, great.
What does that mean, Gary? Please email us.
Like, is he like plus one to women not applying because that's what it looks like? And honestly, I think that is what it is.
Oh boy.
Like, I think he's like, oh, it's great that all these PC women don't apply at a migrate company where you jack off all the time. It's probably what this is, honestly. Like, honestly. God.
I can jack off all the time. So thanks to the fact that no women will go near me. Well.
Oof. So, that's a way we turn to Sean.
Shout out to Jess for giving me that experience today. And
shout out to Jess in general.
Yeah, Jess is great.
I saw her, like, we met at, like, the World in Games conference in London.
Yeah.
Last week, where she also was on a panel, which, good job, Jess. Great. Like, if you don't know Jess, there's a whole bunch of great stuff.
Yeah.
Also at Women in Games, especially focus on stuff like gender pay gap and gender equality and like the workforce and retention and that kind of stuff. She does like a yearly report whenever the gender pay gap info gets released. She collates it into a report.
Mm.
In addition to like doing like communications and Twitter and stuff for our union, she's great. And I'm so glad she doesn't have to work with a shitty company.
Basically, the cusp of it is the exact kind of person that Gary Newman is trying to make sure does not apply to Facepunch.
Yeah, that is what it looks like, honestly.
Biggest news. Okay. All right, we should wrap up.
Wrap it up. I think I wanted to try this on something positive, and I failed at it.
No, it was hilarious.
Except you had a lot.
It
is hilarious. Follow something positive. Follow Jess on Twitter at Fluffy Scorp. FlooffyScorp. Fluffy Scorp. Jess, it's great. Follow her. Promote her like a good shit. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
See you, audience.
Like loot boxes to Union Busting to this shit. Has the games industry great?
It's great.
If only, like, why the union? We don't even need unions. It's totally great. Like, don't you see all this great that's going
union.
On?
Who needs unions when you can jack off on the job?
Honestly, I could imagine that guy saying that. I said honestly.
I swear to God, he's gonna tweet that one day. Next, like.
By law. You see, like, what was the company? It was like, the boss was like, oh yeah, you're going to try to unionize in my company, I'm going to fire you all.
Oh, that was that terrible website that just does, like, articles about sports.
Oh yeah, Barstool.
Yeah, Barstool Sports. Barstools. He was like, are you going to try and unionize with me, or if you fire, I'll fire you all. And then he's just immediately got sued. Just immediately under
it. Yeah, that statement is illegal. That statement is illegal even on a weak SUS NLRA. Like,
that's illegal just to insinuate what you did, you fucking idiot. That's a positive note. That happened.
Yeah, also, positive PSA. Nobody, like, especially on your boss. Like, your boss is not allowed to ask if you're in a union. Not in a roundabout way, not at all.
Yeah, like positive PSA.
If any management asks you if you're in a union, you don't have to answer.
You have to answer that.
But if you are, do tell us, because we're going to... that is the behavior that they should not engage in. Mm. And it shows ill intent.
Yep.
Or at least gross misunderstanding of how unions work.
Yeah.
And what the dynamic should be. You can be in more than one union. But please, if you want to join a game union for game as a games worker, Garrick's UK, AWGB, we're here for you.
We're right here.
We're right here. Doing stuff to make your work experience better. And if you want to learn more about your rights or have something look over your contract or anything like that, we also do that. So just being aware of what somebody is legally allowed to do or not. It's a fucking big boon for bosses who have no regards for that, right? Like, the Barstool's boss, he's not like, you know, can I say that? He's just like, I'm going to say this, motherfuckers, and you're just going to shut up and take it, because I'm the boss. And those people should be taken down a notch. So if you want to take them down a notch, we're right here for you. And that's the positive note of the week. Deck, you need to, like, do something.
Do something?
So, didn't you say you need to go at, like, now?
Yeah, I do. It's been great.
Yeah. You need to end this before it goes on too long, because you have stuff to do.
Yeah.
So we tried to do an hour. It's probably longer right now, but this should allow us to get back to a more regular schedule of releasing these episodes by keeping to an hour long format. So hope to see all of you nice listeners next week with some more stuff. Maybe I'll tell you all about how I traveled the world.
That would be a good topic.
The last couple of months. Yeah, maybe we can get some people on.
Yeah.
As well, like Austin or something. And you can just quiz me about my experiences traveling the world, spreading the good word in unions.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Bye.
Later. Audience.